the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and you are listening to the Approaching the Natural podcast, as if the show opening didn't already tip you off to that. Welcome to everybody, one and all, whether you're here for the first time or visiting back again, a returner, as they say. I'm glad you're here. Let's get some, let me tell you what this is in case you're just joining me for the first time. And I know that I do have some new listeners on board, so thank you for joining me and giving this a shot, okay? This is my weekly podcast. I dedicate it to helping people live happier and healthier in the modern world. I think sometimes some of the focus is on either happier or healthier, as if they're separated. I don't think they're separated. I think one is dependent on the other, and they're just as equally important. Maybe happier is on top of that. Maybe, you know, how that goes, because I think that a healthy body makes you happier. And so I think there, anyway, more on that, I guess, you know, as time goes on. And you should go back, by the way, and listen to old episodes. You can get beyond the most recent 50 that are available on iTunes by going to my website, sidgarzahillman.com. But anyway, I come here each week, and it has evolved over time a little bit. In the beginning, I did envision it and have kept to my initial plan for the most part of a reminder of sorts, something to check in with every week, help keep you on track, bring new ideas, new ways of looking at things. But all those things are basically couched in my small steps approach. And so it's the ideas and the philosophy, but also the execution of that philosophy, implementation of that philosophy via my small steps approach. So there again, all lots of things are intertwined here, because I see it as a very integrated approach of how to apply this way of thinking to all aspects of your life, including, of course, food. But as you know, if you've visited this podcast before, I really don't dwell on food too much. I am a certified nutritionist. I will jump in on that. But you know, it's a lot of stuff. It's everything. It's getting in the middle of the fight of how to eke out some sort of semblance of good, well living in the midst of advertising and marketing and struggle and financial worry and stress and pollution and traffic and all these kinds of things. It's not all negative. We have amazing things we can do. We have abilities to relate to people literally on the other side of the world. That's the coolest thing ever. How do we let those things come into our lives more and not get overtaken by all the stuff that is, you know, taking us down in some ways too? And what when we let our guards down because of fatigue and we're tired and we have, you know, light box food, of course, and we have more stagnancy than ever before and all these kinds of things. Well, that wears us down and makes us more susceptible, in my opinion, to the negative stuff, to the stuff that gets in us and takes us down even further. We're more irritable, we're more stressed, and so we're more susceptible to further stress and irritability. If I can help you through this podcast, get to a place where you're less stressed, less fatigued, less irritable, then you are able to better negotiate the modern world and make yourself happier and healthier in the process. That's pretty, pretty freaking cool. Speaking of which, I'm a little irked. Do I get irked now and then? Yes, I do. Okay. So this guy I know, he's like, I saw you at the market buying beer. I was like, yeah, and? You know, like, it's, you know, like, what? Yeah. So, okay. There's that thing of perfection, right? I'm a health coach and certified nutritionist. Therefore, I should be militant. And that's not my bag. Okay. It's not my bag. It's finding balance in what works for you. That's why I don't have what to eat on page, you know, day three. I don't have that. It's you figuring out for yourselves these things, you guys. I can't tell you enough. Okay, do I drink a lot of beer? No, because I found a balance for myself. So I rarely drink beer. I don't drink it every day even. But on weekends, I'll have a beer or two, you know, and the same thing goes with scotch. And you know, he didn't listen to the podcast. I said, if you listen to the podcast, sometimes I'll be drinking a single malt. So there's your theory right out the old, you know, whatever, the pipe. I'm not a plumber, you guys. Okay, so I'm not going to speak to U-joints and all those kinds of things. Okay, but where was I? I'm a little irked, and here's why. I'm trying to thicken my skin a little bit. You know, I'm out on the internet and that, you know, they have that in computers now. It's very new to me. But there was a response to an appearance I made on a recent podcast, and the guy was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And I shouldn't have even responded, but I did, because there was a couple things that kind of just frankly pissed me off. One of them was that I come from a place of, me, Sid, comes from a place of immense privilege, he said. That's a bunch of crap. And as I said a million times on this podcast, which he, of course, doesn't listen to, healthy and happy living is for everybody. It doesn't take money. That's the beauty. Now, we live in a developed world. Most of people listening to this podcast do. And we have access. We are privileged in just the general way that we have the accessibility of the things that we have access to, like food and technology and all these kinds of things, makes us privileged. But I'm not sitting here, you know, in some isolated world of mine where I think everybody has millions of dollars in their bank account. I don't. I have a dented minivan. That's what I have to show. The point is that I struggle, and I relate that to you guys every week because I'm not outside of this approach. I'm living this approach. I am dealing with the same things you deal with. Now, I can do it pretty well because it is my approach and I've practiced it. And that's hence why people come to me as a private health coach, because I know how to do this and I know how to impart my knowledge to you. The other thing he said is, well, certified nutritionist, you can just buy a certificate. Well, maybe, but I didn't. I went back to school for a year and a half after almost 20 years of reading on nutrition also. So it was just kind of a BS, you know, thing that I shouldn't have bitten, but I did. So there you go. Put it out there. Anyway, so that's my irkness. And I shouldn't even be irked. Why? Because it was nothing. And I'm going to get into that a little bit. So it's been good. It's been a good process for me because I jumped back into the me of it pretty quickly. So really good. Really happy about that. Okay. Speaking of the online world of onlineness, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava, Sid Garza Hillman. Got a good amount of Strava followers. It's so cool. I just think it's the best thing ever. And I followed everybody right back. So if you are still wavering on Strava and you're thinking, well, I don't really work out that much, I shouldn't go on Strava. You move. Get on Strava if you move. And if you don't move, find the smallest step possible that will get you moving. And if you want to post one squat as a workout on Strava, I think that's the best thing ever. And I will give you the little thumbs up, positive, cool thing. Okay? The thing I love about Strava, and I'm not connected to them financially or otherwise, except for just I'm on there. There's no negatives. There's no thumbs down. Like you just, yeah, if you don't think it's great, don't click in. Don't freaking be a jerk and respond. If you don't dig it, don't dig it. But I'm giving kudos. I don't care what you do. I mean, I'm looking at what everybody does, but I'm spreading kudos all around because people are moving. It's the coolest thing ever. It's a positive social media platform. Speaking of platform, I am setting my espresso on a platform. I really had no segue there. I just was trying to make the point that I'm drinking a really nice espresso today. And that's how I got nothing else. SidGarzaHillman.com is where you find all things me, except for where I'm in, you know, on YouTube and everything else. But t-shirts, mugs, bracelets, you can get online. You can also find out about me as a private health coach. My books for sale everywhere, stores and online, all that kind of crap. Okay, I get bored with this. Every week I should probably, I mean, I'm supposed to do this. I know, like, quick announcements, but hopefully they don't last too long. Okay, you guys? I head up the Stanford Inns Wellness Center. There's some retreats coming out. I said this last week. I'm literally days away, okay, from launching all these things, especially the running retreats, which I'm so excited about, but I just am waiting for final confirmation. So keep me on your radar for that if you want to. And I think I probably shouldn't mention this. I'm going to mention it because I wasn't going to mention it until I was for real, and it's for real now. So I am race directing my own race, and I think I may have mentioned this in the podcast, but I don't know. I did mention it on the No Meat Athlete one. So very cool. I had this idea when I did the ultras earlier in the year, and I live in a really nice, it's not, well, anyway, it's whatever. It's blue collar, but it's a nice place. There's trails everywhere, so I run. And it's gorgeous, and I was running around these trails in the forest, totally unkempt, just like raw, and I'm like, this would be the greatest place ever for an ultra marathon. And then I was like, what? And so I put one together and found a guy at the Stanford Inn named Rick Hemmings. He manages the canoe bike rental department. And he knows these trails like the back of his hand. And I've seen the back of his hand, and it's complicated. My God, one time I looked at it, I posted that on Strava. Anyway, so he helped me map this thing out. It's a 50K. It's called the Mendocino Coast 50K. Mendocino Coast 50K. Jeff Stanford's sponsoring it. I've got Visit Mendocino County, the tourism board, sponsoring it as of last week. It's very exciting. Registration opens November 1st, 2015. So that's why I'm announcing it now. Registration opens November 1st, 2015. Go to MendocinoUltra.com, MendocinoUltra.com. I'm so excited about it, except the fact that I won't be running it because I'm race directing it. Otherwise, I would totally freaking run it. In fact, maybe next year, if it goes well, I'll have somebody else sort of handle things because I really want to run it. It's a gorgeous run and ocean and waterfall and redwoods and just like amazing. So anyway, MendocinoUltra.com. Okay, good. In a couple weeks, well, 3 weeks, I'm going to Portland, Oregon to speak at the Northwest Veg Fest. That's nwveg.org/vegfest. In April, I'll be in Marshall, Texas, healthfest.com. Boom, boom. Got some new YouTube subscribers too. Got a new video in the works, kind of, but yes, I do. Okay, can we get into the business here? Got a really nice email that I wanted to share with you. And I emailed the person back and said, I'm going to share this with the you know, cyber sphere. I try to use technology names as if I know what the hell I'm talking about. And I really don't. I don't. I know espressos. I know scotch. And I know minivans. Got a really nice email. And here was the email. This person was traveling on a very, very long flight, like a 14-hour flight to go visit, I think, a friend or family or something in, I think it was Korea. So they were on a 14-hour flight, and I may have gotten the countries completely wrong, but I know that they were on an airplane for 14 hours. And I guess they usually exercise, and so that he or she shared this experience that they had, which was that they said usually when they travel, they don't get to exercise because it's a long flight, and it's just they get off feeling crappy, and it's just like this hard kind of thing to you know, for anybody, jet lag and the whole bit. But guess what happened? This person used integrated exercise. So at all these different moments throughout this 14-hour flight, they were doing squats in the bathroom, wall sits, I think push-ups, like they did this whole thing. And the person wrote, quote, my body thanked me for it, and they felt so much better getting off the airplane. And I thought, this is where it's at. This is why I love these emails, by the way. podcast@sidgarzahillman.com if you have a similar story. I love sharing these things. This is real life. And if you listen to episode 100, I got listeners on telling their stories because this is real. It's happening. People are seeing the difference. And, you know, the resistance of maybe people who haven't tried it yet is that, you know, this is from my experience and just what I've gotten back from putting my approach out there, which is it doesn't seem like it's enough. You know, like it doesn't seem like it's fast enough. It doesn't seem like it's substantial enough until people try it. And then, you know, worst case is you try something too little. Okay, like next day, ramp it up. And we're really talking about a matter of days. You know, the thing about my small steps approach is it's not like a 3-month, you know, where you go, okay, one squat per day for 3 months. Well, that's not very much. The whole point is that it gets you in the door. What I remember I called the specificity of results in last week's episode is what gets you in the door may be one squat, but the exponential growth very quickly just you, boom. And you're just like, oh my God, like 2 weeks ago, I was doing one squat per day. Now I'm just doing 30 squats per day or whatever that is. To just give you an example, I'm up to 19 squats and 19 pushups per hour for 7 hours during the day. I can't even remember how long I've been doing this. It doesn't really matter to me, but I think it's been 2 or 3 months. I was doing 5 pushups per hour, 6 times a day. Now I'm doing 19 pushups, 19 squats, 7 times per day. I mean, that's massive. I'm doing 133 or whatever the heck the total is, pushups per day, most days, 5 days a week, minimum, sometimes 6, depending on if I'm not building my freaking horse fence. You guys, I'm over horses already. I don't even want to hear any words that rhyme with horse. I don't even like. my voice got hoarse and I couldn't even describe. It was just like, my voice is not anything that rhymes with the word horse. It's just annoying to me. Someday I'd like to actually enjoy having a horse instead of having to take my weekends building things for said horse. Mm. But I have my espressos. Okay. So that was the integrated exercise real life application besides my real life application. But this was hearing from a person on a 14-hour flight exercising. Who does that? Nobody does that. I'll tell you who does it. Ready? Small steppers do that. They don't go, okay, no exercise because I can't do my 45 minutes, hour, whatever that thing looks like to them most of the times. They don't say, forget it, no exercise. They go, okay, what can I do? What can I do? I'm on an airplane for 14 hours. What can I eke out here? Maybe some journaling. Maybe some, definitely some deep breathing. You for sure have time to deep breathe on an airplane because you can't do much else. But to actually get up out of your chair and move your body that way is massive. That person did more exercise than, sorry to say, but probably most of Americans or a large percentage of Americans who really don't move their bodies. And this person managed to kick that into gear on an airplane. That's awesome. I love that. It's just like the coolest thing ever. Okay. So anyway, thank you very much, that person. I've tried to be very vague as far as gender and everything else. I don't know why. They don't even think they care. They're super cool for freaking emailing me. So that's what that is. I just wish I could buy that person a Coke. I don't know why I thought about that. Okay, back to the deal. So I'm on my dial back day, hashtag dial back day. I've used it now one time. I'm the worst social media person. I think I'm the worst. If there's an award for worst social media person, I put my name in that hat, will you? Somebody nominate me. What I was thinking about today is I'm on my dial back day, hashtag, and I'm doing my fruit only day, okay? And it's going fine. It's getting easier and easier, but you know, there's moments during the day where I kind of still have that moment of like, ah, crap, you know, that kind of thing. But it occurred to me today that this is a very interesting observation I had to myself. I could, you know, it's my choice. So one thing I want to mention, by the way, is that it's really not, like, in some ways it's a dial back day in terms of, well, I'll put it this way. The only way it's dial back at all is mental. It's the only aspect of this being an actual dial back day for me is mental. Nothing else about it is dialing back. I'm actually nourishing myself better. I'm feeding myself better. I'm not restricting calories at all. In fact, I'm probably eating more calories. I'm not hungry at all. The opposite. I'm like full all day. I'm fully hydrated. I'm adding so much. I mean, not dialing back physically at all. The only part of this day that is dialing back is just me going, ah, because I don't do fruit every day, right? So it's just like this thing of like, ah, I wish, you know, that kind of thing. It's cravings. That's all that is. Okay, so if you want to throw that out there, it's like really in many ways the opposite of dialing back. It is why when I coach people on a private basis, I go, we're going to get you to look at this for what this is, which is not restriction. It's, yes, it's change. Maybe you're transitioning. But if you think always how restrictive this is, you won't stick to it. So don't do it. If a step looks restrictive to you, don't do that step. I don't look at a dial back day as restriction. I look at it as a recalibration or retooling. But here's the observation I had, and here's what I wanted to share with you. If I decided today, this afternoon, where I was like, ah, I don't want to do, eh, I had that kind of in my voice. Nah, I don't want to do, you know, like I'm a 10-year-old kid. I don't want to do fruit only, right? Which makes me, remember the fight in you makes me go, you know what? I'm not letting you do that. Pushing forward on this. But let's say that I just said, okay, screw it. I'm not going to do it, which I have the freedom to do that also, right? And so then I had whatever dinner that was not fruit, which would be healthy probably. So it's not, again, not a dial back day health-wise. Okay, fine. I would enjoy the meal, but then afterwards I go, you know what? Damn it. I would regret it. I know that I would regret it. I know. Remember, a year ago, I think it was episode 50, in fact. I was halfway through my first 100, and I did an episode which is like, tell your future. The more you're engaged in your life through this process, the more that you learn about who you truly are, the more you really kind of know. It was like the macaroon thing from last week. Like, I know pretty quickly that if I didn't do the fruit only, there was no reason for me not to do fruit only. There was no reason. I wasn't traveling. I had access to fruit. Like, there was no reason other than craving, and that's the whole thing I want to recalibrate to. You know, one day a week, just kind of settle things back, dial it back, just reset my clock, boom, I'm out fighting again. But the observation was this, is that if I said, okay, forget, I'm not going to do it, and I had that meal, then I would probably enjoy the meal, but then afterwards I would regret it and go, you know what, I freaking gave in. I wish I hadn't done that. I don't want to feel like that. So what I'm doing essentially is reversing it. So maybe tonight the fruit that I'm going to have for dinner is less enjoyable than the other meal, but I'm going to be way happier afterwards. So I've sort of reversed it. So I could either be happy with a meal and regret it after, or be less happy with a meal but be way happier after. I'm doing the latter. I know my future, which is that if I stick to fruit today, I 100% am going to wake up tomorrow. 100%. 100%. There's no way, and this is just because I know myself in this regard. I know that when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to be glad that I stuck with fruit. Why? Because now I have the arsenal of experience around this to know that I'm going to feel really light, really clean, and I'm going to have a kick-ass run. That I know. Well, I know that I'm going to feel really light and really clean. Maybe the run, I'm going to hit a rock and break my foot. So that I don't know. But I do know that I'm going to wake up feeling really good and really light and mentally very happy that I stuck it out and took one day a week to be a little less happy with food, but way happier that I was able to recalibrate myself and that I'm in control of my life in this way. Now, like I say, every time when I talk about my dial back day, if you're thinking, yeah, but I don't really like fruit that much, this has nothing at all to do with fruit. Nothing at all to do with fruit. I cannot stress that enough. Don't get hung up on the particulars of what my dial back day looks like. What would your dial back day look like? Maybe your dial back day looks like 1 5-minute period of that day where you don't do something you usually do or where you do something different that you usually do, and that's your dial back day. Your dial back day could be like the most minuscule change, but it's one day a week where you sort of engage in this way and show yourself, teach yourself what you're capable of and essentially what that is. I don't ever want to, look, personally, I don't ever want to feel like I don't have the strength to here's the absurdity of this whole thing. Like, I don't want to feel like I don't have the strength to, guess what? Oh, I don't know, treat myself super well and eat really good food all day. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not exactly going through torture here. I'm eating fresh fruit. It's amazing. And it's like totally convenient. I was working on this week's episode. I'm typing my notes and I'm eating a big, huge bowl of grapes. And my kids come over and they run over there and they're sitting next to me eating grapes. And this is as bad as this gets. You know what I mean? This is not torture. This is not torture. The discomfort associated with this is 100% mental, and that's not me. That discomfort's not me. The me of it is like, yeah, okay, fine. I got this. Now, the me of it, by the way, isn't the person who doesn't feel those other things. The me in this situation is the person who feels those things and says, you ain't getting the best of me on this. And I want to be very clear about that too. As we think about perfection and somebody saying they saw me buying beer, I don't even know what perfection is. Objectively, for me, it's somebody who has, I am somebody, I don't always act this way, but I'm somebody who has control over their life in the context of this crazy world that I live in. And most of the time, I'm able to handle that. And I'm not an automaton. I don't not feel things. I feel those things and what I do in spite of those things. I feel the fear every time my children walk out the door. There's a certain aspect every time I get into a car that I don't know what's going to happen. Those are things that tackle all of us day to day. Those are modern world craziness. And sure, in the wild, there's the danger of predators and all these kinds of things. But there's just stuff that we can't even assess well. Like it's just weird when we can go to a market and buy food that's, you know, infected with E. coli. And next thing there's just like so much out of our control. I talked about it last week, like this the perception of not being in control. It's a rough thing for us. Okay. How do we get control? Well, we get control in the way that we handle things. We get control by saying what we're able to handle and what we're going to let get us down. There's so much already out of our control, but how we handle things, how we respond to things, how we act to things. We have the crappy job, but do we let it infect the rest of our lives? No. Do we let it infect our family lives? No. Well, of course we do. But do we want to? No. And I'm not the guy who does that. I'm not the guy who lets my job ruin the time with my family. I'm not that guy. Do I behave like that guy sometimes? Yeah, I do. But I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. So there's the eye on the ball. I'm not that guy. So when it occurs, I go, good to know. How can I get around this next time? Where's my fight in that? Where's my fight in saying, I ain't letting this happen as much. I'm changing this because it's not who I am. I want that out as much as possible. Got it? Are you sure? Do you? Good. Okay, good. Espresso on me. Met a couple so nice podcast listeners. They read my book. They came to the Stanford Inn from Canada. And I just think Canada is so, they're coming along so great. They've got governments now and the whole like monetary system. They have a sport up there. It's called, hold on, let me look at my notes. Hockey. They have a sport called hockey. And the girl that I met, it was a husband and wife. She works for a hockey team. Is that just the most adorable thing? The Calgary Flames. It's like fire. I don't really know much about the sport. I think it involves sticks and ice cubes. And so I'll look into more of that, and I'll get back to you guys next week about a little more details about hockey. It's very cool. But they were super nice and so fun and great to meet them in person. I love that. So if you guys are ever around, or come to Portland for the love of all that's holy. Okay, or Marshall, Texas. Okay, onwards and upwards. So one thing I wanted to talk about, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. In the me, not me thing, so is this becoming therapy for me, this podcast? On some level, maybe, because I'm hoping that my experience through my own struggles, again, informs you so that you can do your own small step deal. Okay, so my music small step every week, it hasn't grown. I still put my hands on my guitar once a week. That was a struggle for me because I used to be a full-time musician. So music looked like a thing I should be doing. And I was actually thinking about today as I was playing music before this podcast, I was like, this hasn't grown. I still play about 5 minutes a week, but two things are true for me. One, it's made a huge difference in my life knowing that I play guitar every week in my own brain and three things. And the actual playing of guitar I love that even though it's 5 minutes. But the third thing is the most profound for me. Right now, it's enough. It's enough. It hasn't grown because it's enough. And it kind of pains me to say that, like 5 minutes a week, like there's a should, right? The tension of should. I should be doing more. I should be playing more. Gosh, I really should be playing more. I should probably try to up that. Why? I'm happy. I'm doing this podcast and I'm doing videos and I'm working on a cool project with Matt Frazier and I work at a great place to, you know, work, and I have ups and downs like everybody else. But for the most part, I'm kind of doing okay, right? So why should I? If I was like really miserable, I hope that I would know myself enough to say, I'm not happy right now. There's something I really want to change here. And so music, I can foresee a possibility in the future where I just start really getting that itch again, which I've had in the past, where I get this restlessness to say, I really want this back. In which case I'll make a shift and I'll start growing that step and I'll start, you know, hitting it harder. But right now, I don't know why, but I don't have a reason to. I'm writing. When I play, most every week I have some sort of new idea, just like today, recorded some new ideas. At some point, I'm assuming I'll get back into those tapes that I'm recording and develop those into songs. I don't know. But if I force the subject, and force does rhyme with horse, and that's why I'm not happy about having to use this, but I'm here for you guys. So I'm going to say force, which rhymes with horse, of course. If I force the subject of music, then I stop enjoying music. Right now, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I don't want that to change. If I force it and push it, then I stop enjoying it. Guess what happens then? I burn out. Guess what happens then? I stop playing music altogether. Why rock that boat? Why rock that boat? I'm going to talk about this probably in next week's episode about, I talk about the struggles a lot in this podcast. I talk about how difficult it is to live in the modern world, because it is. I don't talk about it in a way to make anybody afraid. I talk about a way to help people negotiate a better life in this context. But sometimes through this process, through this small steps process, and I've had clients before I've talked about this, but you realize the things that are working. You realize the things that do work. You realize the things that maybe you thought you wanted to change, but that you actually don't need to change. I mean, is that not the coolest thing ever? Again, you're in the moment and you're realizing that you're kind of okay in that regard. Maybe in that other one over there, you make moves there, but this one, you thought it was broken, but it ain't broke. So you're not going to touch it. good. You can pay more attention to the other stuff that you do want to change. And still at the same time, freaking appreciate the stuff that you don't. How great is that? Because you weren't appreciating it before necessarily, but now you are. So it made me sort of appreciate music that much better. And I actually had a moment where I was like, yeah, it's okay. I got it all right. I got my espresso in my wife's travel mug. Things could be worse. Okay? Things could be worse. All right. So anyway, back to sort of like the therapy of this podcast kind of thing. But office gossip. I want to talk about office gossip. So this is like a thing. It's hard. I talked about that. I bite my nails. What else is wrong with me? I get susceptible. I have been susceptible to like the excitement of like drama around the thing. And I'm really making an effort. Why? Because it's so totally not me. Okay. It's, you know, it can be entertaining. I'll be honest, you know, and so it's like, it's tempting. So like when something happens, I'm like, what happened? You know, like that kind of thing. And it's kind of embarrassing for me to even talk about. I'm 47, almost, I'm 46. I'm 46. I'm basically 50. I love telling my wife now that I'm basically 50. It just totally chaps her hide. I said, I'm essentially 50. She's like, you're still not 50. Cause she doesn't want to consider that makes her almost 52. I love it. It's the most fun thing ever. Okay. I'm virtually 50. She's like, no, you're not. So back to office gossip. So in the past, I've been, you know, like susceptible to it. Probably many people are. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, these people you work with, you spend a lot of time with them. And there's like those things. But to me, like I'm so busy with the podcast and so busy with right now with the Matt Fraser No Meat Athlete project and, you know, busy with my videos and I love doing that stuff and of course then there's family and the horse fence and all these kinds of things, and I think wasted moments, you know, for me, wasted moments. And so, you know, even as early as, you know, recent as last week, you know, got swept up into something but I'm getting, I don't want to say better and good, but I'm getting, instead of better or worse, I'll say I'm getting closer to who I am on this. I mean, I've really realized that it's so not me to get swept up into that stuff. I do, but it's not me. And so so this is the realization I had around this process. And it's been a few weeks of me sort of, I've known this for a long time, but it really crystallizing this via this podcast, you know, the preparations of it and everything else. I don't beat myself up when I get swept up into it, but I have really, really benefited from the me, not me game about this, because when I do and I realize, oh, you got sucked in again. Right. Because even if you don't want to, like there's people that you work with that they can sort of get, it's not them, you're doing it to yourself, but through them, you like them and you're hanging with them. And so you can more easily get sucked into it if they are. Got it. Okay, good. And so I now just have this moment where I go, not me. And I just more quickly realize it's not me. And I realized, you know, in the last couple of weeks, like I've gotten way more me than not me on this. Like in I think because it's been going on a while, but there's that like, so that I want to make this real quick aside point is oftentimes with my small steps approach, there's a rise. Like I said, it's not like 3 months of one squat per day. By the end of 3 months, you're doing way more than you were. But the other thing to understand is there's sometimes where you're plateauing. You go from one to two to five squats per day, but then you stick at five squats per day for a while. But then life evolves and life changes and it's fluid. And that's why this approach works so freaking well, because it's always customizable, always. But there's times where all of a sudden there's a meteoric rise where all of a sudden you go, you know, hypothetically, you go from five squats to 20 per day just almost overnight because of just whatever. You've got this foundation and for some reason, that's when it kicks in. Boom. So you stick. So like with my music step, there's a real good possibility then 6 months, I don't know when, all of a sudden I'm playing an hour, you know, three times a week. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to say. It just depends, but I'm open to it. Via this approach, I'm open to just because I'm always assessing that I go game on. Who knows, right? So in this sense, with the office gossip kind of thing, and it's not like I spend all day doing this, but I don't want to get swept up to it. Most 99.9% of the time, it's just trivial crap that I just don't want to waste a single amount of energy on. Sometimes it's amusing, but sometimes most of the time I don't. So I've just gotten way better. Like, okay, 77, I'm 77.4% better than I was like 6 months ago. That's massive. That's 77. That's not really like, well, it was a It was, I did, so I actually did, it was a double blind, well, no, it was a single blind study that I did. I basically, here's what I did. I tied blindfolds around people and I said, how much better are you or who here thinks they don't get enough protein? That was, it was kind of, I didn't really craft the study that well. Okay, I'm not a researcher. I don't, it's mostly anecdotal, but 77.4% people responded to the protein question by saying that I've gotten a lot less swept up into office politics. And also, I make a pretty damn good espresso. Again, now that is scientific. And again, I'm not, you know, I'm not, the remaining percentage said that it'd be better if I put butter in it. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. I love statistics. In fact, what it did get me thinking about, and this is for real, is that humans have this amazing curiosity and this drive to figure things out. And I think, obviously, that's why I came to nutrition in the first place, right? I do think that eating simple is so very, 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 very simple. Eating healthy is what I meant to say, is very, very simple. But I do this as a job, and so I do a lot of reading way beyond what the normal, everyday person needs to know. And in fact, like when I teach nutrition, I go, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. If you want to know more, that's great, and I love it. But you don't need to know, you know? And I remember last week I said, you know, this is not for people who are into this stuff as a hobby. And I got an email from this one of my favorite listeners ever in, of course, down freaking New Zealand, right? What can I say? And she was like, but I'm into this stuff. But she's into, it was like, she's really beyond what a hobbyist is. Like she's well-rounded and she's kicking ass in life. And so I was just like, no, you're of course. And I don't mean that people who are into this podcast doesn't work for them. Of course it does. But it's not necessarily for people who are just like flighting into nutrition. It's a bigger picture is my only point. But you can, whatever, it works. But my point about this whole thing is I'm into this because it's my job and I go deeper, but you don't necessarily need to know all this stuff. But we have this intense, profound desire to learn. And I think that that's fantastic. I think we should foster that and it's great. Here's the only problem I have. And of course, like I've said, I draw on research. I read research. I cited research. It's in my book. It's like, it's yeah, of course, of course. But can there be an out of balance in how much we learn? Yes, because what I find sometimes, our diets and quick fixes are really their attempts to figure things out. Their attempts to say, how can I make my life better? Or how can I live better? How can I be fitter? But of course, what I'd say is how can I be happier, right? But those pursuits can, in some cases, very quickly become distractions from the very things that are actually inhibiting us from being healthy and happy. So the reason why I sort of tell people when I teach people that I'm going to teach you all you need to know about nutrition is because sometimes that puts a question to them of, well, if this is all I need to know and I don't really need to keep researching nutrition that much, what is left? What is left for me to do to be healthier? And that's why over time, as a health coach and certified nutritionist, you know, food is definitely the smaller percentage of the work that I do with people. I don't work with people for a month because it takes me that long to teach them nutrition. They're done with nutrition in the first freaking hour. What is then is the struggle of building in new behaviors, of living well in a world that is essentially designed to make it easier not to live well. That's the deal. And I just want you guys to get into this stuff and learn as much as you want to learn. And I think that's fantastic. But there's plenty of people who know a crap load, who know 50 times what I know about nutrition, but aren't healthy and happy. That's my goal, is I want you to be healthy and happy. And if you keep reading books on nutrition at the expense of your own health and happiness, then I would say that that's out of balance. And I'm not telling you stop altogether. I'm saying, are you able to assess your life and say, wow, I really know a lot, but implementing it is not what's happening for me. And so I want to keep reading this because it's fun and it's exciting and I like to learn about this stuff. But maybe if I small step some other aspects, I can actually increase the implementation of my knowledge. Knowledge for knowledge's sake, it's great, but it's not my bag in this podcast. It's not where I'm at. I'm not interested in misdirected research. If you know more than about nutrition than I do, great. But what I'm interested in is, how are you implementing that? That's how I've learned from people, is because I look at the implementation. I look at you tell me what you're doing, Or you tell me what you know, great. But if you ain't doing it, I'm not interested. I mean, the small step, here's the beauty of the small steps among like the thousand things I think that are fantastic about it, obviously. The disconnect that exists in the world between what we practice and what we preach is gargantuan. I mean, the divide is wide, I'll put it that way, right? Small steps is one of the few approaches that actually allows you immediately to practice what you preach. So I've had clients where their diets are really, really not healthy. Many clients. I mean, you know, some healthy, but some not. And sometimes in my assessment with them of their food and kind of the importance that it plays in their lives and where it's at in their lives in terms of what they're currently eating, tradition and ritual, and they may not want to change. And so I don't want to change them unless they're ready. And so sometimes I've said, you know, the ubiquitous stalk of celery. So sometimes I've had a conversation with a client and said, can you put one stalk of celery on your plate? And I do that because, first of all, they can, because I'm not taking anything away from them. And second of all, within a couple weeks, I can ask them this question. Do you eat healthy food every day? And they can say yes. And they can mean it. And that means they can practice what they preach. Meaning, in their small step approach, they have come to understand themselves as a person who eats healthy food every day. That's the me, not me of this. This is the first task of writing who you are, not who you want to be, who you are. I'm somebody who eats healthy food every day, even though totally they do not, but that's who they are. In their minds, that's who they are. It's what they value. The small step approach immediately begins the process of identifying themselves in the real world as this person. That's profound. That's profound. If you can, somebody asked me, do you play guitar? Yes, I do every week. I don't have to lie about it. I don't have to feel shame about it. I don't have to feel guilt about it. I don't have to feel should about it. You ask somebody who doesn't eat healthy, who defines themselves as somebody who eats healthy, they're in conflict about it, and you say, do you eat healthy food? And they go, I really should. I've been really stressed at work, and there's just too much. It's too much. It's on top of them. It's too much. They can't do it because they're just overwhelmed by what they think it means to eat healthy. But if you say, could you eat one stalk of celery per day? And they go, oh, hell yeah. In 2 weeks, you go, do you eat healthy food every day? And they go, yeah. Do you know how the snowball effect of what that means? When you're starting to practice what you preach, do you exercise every day? Yes, I do. What do you do? Oh, I do one squat per day. Oh, holy crap. You exercise every day? You exercise 7 days a week? And 2 weeks ago, you didn't exercise any days a week? And now you're doing one squat per day? But beyond that, you can identify yourself as somebody who exercises every day? Guess what happened? You made a crack in your wall of behaviors. Now you're somebody who exercises every day. Fine. Now go. Go for it. Now make the assessments of when you're going to add, to subtract, and you know, plateau and everything else. Amazing. I just wanted to point that out. Okay? There's a disconnect in the world. It's called our political system in many cases, but the practice what you preach. We all have great things to say, but few of us are living the example. Few, especially in the health and fitness world. Okay? And watch that. Beyond that, like I've said before, if you think I'm not living the example, go find someone else who is. Go find somebody else who is. I believe that I am. I believe that I am even when I go buy beer at the market, because that's who I am. I'm somebody who's not militant about healthy food. I know how to eat healthy food. That I know. But I'm not militant about having to do that at every single time, because there's other parts of my life that I attend to. And I believe that if I ate that 100% of the time and was militant about it, I'd be out of balance with all the other parts of my life. So it's totally me. And totally me living the example. Abusing alcohol? No, not me. That would not be a good example, because that's not what I value. Okay? So the struggles of me and the struggles of you, that is perfection. If there's perfection, that's what that is. It's you learning about yourself and getting on top of yourself. Okay? Good. Okay. One more point about that before I touch on the subject of this episode. Just a practical kind of thing. It's when you're clear about who you are, and again, that changes over time, but let's say you do that first task and you go, I am this and I'm this and I'm this, not I will be, but I am, right? And you find yourself in a situation where you're not you, okay? Let's say it's the office gossip thing. I get swept up into this, okay? I want to make the point that this is not a game. I'm going to start saying this a lot these days because this is not a game. It goes way beyond me saying to myself, I am not a person who gets swept up in office politics. That's a start, and that's great. And so if you are a person, you know, in your first task who eats healthy food every day, and then you know, or most days, let's say, and you realize most days you haven't been, and you have that moment where you say, I'm a person who eats healthy food, that's great. But one of the things that I coach people to do is take it one step further, which is really get to know what that person looks like. Just take a moment to say, beyond repeating yourself, this is why it's not about positive thinking in terms of I eat healthy food every day, so magically I'm going to start eating healthy food. It doesn't work that way. But if you say I eat healthy food every day, and in your mind you picture your house, what it might look like, and you say I've got healthy, I can see the healthy food in my refrigerator, and I can see a cupboard that has healthy food in it, and I can see myself sitting down to a salad. I think these are easier things to notice than somebody who's trying to envision themselves being thin when they've never been thin. Don't waste your time. But you can envision yourself taking a bite of lettuce. I bet you could. I bet you can envision yourself walking around. I bet you could envision yourself jogging. I bet you could envision yourself visiting friends that you haven't seen. What is it that a healthy person does? Get to know that person. In the 2 seconds that you have to devote to yourself this time, create the circumstances around that person for just 1 second. So if I go, I just got swept up in office gossip, I quickly can turn on a little picture of my mind of me saying, yeah, that's a good story. And then I got to get back to work, and getting back to work and not getting swept up. But it's beyond just me saying, I am not a person who gets swept up in office gossip. I think that's a great place to start, like I said. So I don't mean to demean it with my awesome robotic voice, but it goes beyond that. It's picturing what your life would look like now and then. It's picturing that in your brain and moving on. Okay? Picturing in your brain and moving on. Okay. Subject of this week's podcast, you guys, this week's episode. The title is Rob the Future, Rob the Now. And here's what made me think about this. I was on a run on a trail, and there was an old guy in front of me. And by old, I mean probably 40, almost 50. That was for my wife's benefit, but she doesn't listen to the podcast, so she'll never know. He was probably 80. I'm not even joking, okay? At least 80s. And he's jogging. He's running. Now, when I say running, I mean he's jogging, and I mean so slow that it was like super slow. I thought it was about the best thing ever, and when I see these things, it like almost makes me tear up because it's just so awesome. And it made me think for a second, this crazy balance that we have in the modern world, which is we not only can we think so much further into the future than we ever would in the wild, where I don't idealize it, but I understand that there's survival things in the wild. Animals are about finding the food and escaping predators and finding shelter and sort of the day-to-day of living. We have that to contend with in the modern world, but we also have, I got to put money in the bank because I got the kids. I mean, this is just me. I got an 11-year-old and twin. I got to put two twins through college, two kids at the same time. Think about that. Okay. I can't even fix my minivan right now, much less think about that, but I have to consider that. And that, how does that feed my decision-making today? How does that feed the balance of living life now while also planning for the distant future? This is not where am I getting my next meal. This is 30 years from now. For some of my planning, this is retirement. This is what's my life going to look like? I've got to put kids through college in 20 years. You're 15 years. I mean, this is a very weird place that we've put ourselves, where we can think that far ahead and actually need to in some ways. And so, again, with the balance issue, how quickly it is that we can either rob our future if we live too much for now and we squander and we just go, screw it. Like, you know, when we're 18 and we go, I'll eat whatever I want because when I'm 40, whatever, man. And then 40 comes and you're like, it's like, holy crap, how'd that come out, you know? Or we rob the now when we are too conservative in our present and we can't do anything because I got to tighten this up. I got to tighten this up because I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I got to put the kids through school so I can't spend anything. I can't do anything. We either rob the future or we rob the now. How do we achieve a better balance? And I think that some of this comes to our sort of maturity of thought, the way that we transition when we're younger from this sort of screw it, that's later. We sort of kick the can down the road to this maturity where we are parents and where we're working and we have relationship and we think we have to plan for our future. But and then we how do we, so how do we balance those two things day to day? It's a really, really rough thing. I think the perspective of small stepping, the perspective of my approach, I think helps this process because I believe that it gives you perspective in this. It allows you to learn how much less you actually need to be healthy and happy. I think that's probably the greatest thing that you can get. And so that, in other words, you can say, well, I can probably do a little more planning for my future. I don't necessarily have to do, you know, all super expensive, outlandish things right now because I can be happy with very little. And so I can sort of, again, in my approach with clients, I'm always trying to sort of avoid the wide pendulum swings, right? This is the whole thing of, you know, you yo-yo dieting, right? You're all the way over here and then you're all the way over there and you're all the way over here and you're all the way over there. Well, that can happen too in this way also with how much we think about our future and how much we think about our now and how what it takes for us to be healthy and happy. When you can, again, dial it back day, right? These are the things that you can learn by dialing it back now and then about how much less you really need to be happy and the places that you can find happiness that you never even knew were there because you're so used to expecting them in this place. I need my food. I need my meal that I have because that is the thing that makes me happy. But when I don't have that, somehow I'm still happy because I focus more on my kids or my family or my partner or my job or something. All these things we learn about ourselves by intentionally making manipulations in our lives, intentionally kind of nudging routines and behaviors in habits in ways that cause minor disruptions. And the disruptions are, that's stress. Disruptions in our day-to-day are stress. It's the things that kind of make us disoriented, like I've said. But the small steps approach really helps with those disruptions being mitigated over time. You know, when I find more and more now in my own practice personally, that when bad things happen, like coming back to this, you know, the response to the earlier in the podcast, I mentioned the response is like, it's just not that big of a deal. Like it irked me in the moment and I responded to it, but then I was like pretty quickly faster than before, but not as fast as I'd like. Fine. I'm in the process. But I was like, yeah, end of the day, not that big of a deal. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It really isn't that big of a deal. It isn't to me. Has it been that big of a deal? Sure. Bet your ass. But the fact that my perception of it has changed over time, my perspective about my whole life has changed over time such that things like that don't make much difference to me. So much less that when I got home and was hanging with my kids, the only reason I thought about that at all was because I was doing my podcast notes, but I wasn't bothered by it anymore. And so I was hanging with my kids and it was like talking. We were having a great time. And I thought, how cool this is. 5 years ago, this thing would have been freaking whipping around my brain still. I probably wouldn't even be able to do the podcast because I would have been in a horrible mood about it. This is great. I mean, this is part of why I want to age. You know, like if I can find this stuff out, how cool, right? How fast do we get perspective in our lives? How fast do we, the trite thing, time heals all wounds. Well, because eventually, you know, that really bad breakup that you think is the end of the world, you know, in 5 years from now, it's not. You realize, yeah, it wasn't the end of the world. Got it. And thank goodness that happened because I ended up getting a better relationship, right? Like how many times we look back and go, woo, luckily that thing happened that I thought was the end of the world and turned out to be like the best thing ever that happened to me because X, Y, Z happened and I got to there. Boom. How fast does perspective return to you? How you speed that up? By engaging in your life, by creating balance in other areas of your life so that everything is lifted. so that not one thing, food or one thing, fitness or one thing, socializing or one thing, whatever, is above all else, so that things are generally in a good balance, so that you have places to draw inspiration from, places to draw happiness, places to draw strength, places to draw support from. When you have all those things going on, you get perspective faster, because no one little thing that happens to you is just like the major thing, because you have other stuff. You know, and the thing about it is, like, the people I've known who are super into office gossip, like beyond and sort of trouble starters, like, I often say, like, get a hobby. You know, like, that's my thing to myself. I'm like, you got other fish to fry. That's kind of my own message. Like, this is not you. You've got other things to do. You have really other things to do. But if you listening to this don't have other things to do, and it's not making you happy to do the things that you're doing, find other things to do, because that's when you engage the small steps approach. You say, well, I work 12 hours a day. I don't have time for anything else. Well, sure you do. Sure you do. You can play guitar one day a week, 1 5-minute period a week. And that infects, in a good way, your thinking, your brain, your quality of life throughout your entire week, because you know you got this thing that you did, this something else. What is your something else? I don't have to deal with that trite, you know, mundane crap, because I got other stuff. I got other stuff. And I don't have to be perfect about it. I'm going to get swept up in it. And I just go have a moment of not me. And I have a little moment where I picture what me would do in that situation. I would have just said, yeah. Oh, good. Good to know. Moving on. Did you fill out your life this way? You fill out your life this way. And essentially, you have a nice level balance between the now and your future. You don't rob the now for your future, and you don't rob the future for your now. You feed both. You feed yourself, because you evolve over time when you do this, and you become the person that you know in the future is going to be an even deeper growing person, because that's the stage you've set for yourself, is that you're continually feeding yourself. You're continually nourishing yourself in all ways. You're continually sending yourself the message that you're worth taking care of and worth being happy. And that is feeding your now and feeding your future. It's creating a forward momentum of growth and in increased happiness and increased fulfillment and a greater experience of life. Isn't that really what we're all going for? A greater fulfilling experience of life? Isn't that why we go to the books, and isn't that why we go to the DVDs? We want to experience this more fully. We want that rush of pleasure. We want that joy all the time. And when we don't get it, we just beat ourselves up over it, instead of saying, this is a practice and a process, and I'm living in a crazy world, and that's inevitable. That's going to happen. But how do I get perspective about this? How do I not rob my now and say really quickly within minutes, yeah, it sucks, but it's that thing. Who cares? It's that thing. I got bigger fish to fry, because I do. And you do too. You do. Because you can do whatever you want to do. And I don't mean you can go fly to Mars. I mean, you can decide who you are and start making steps today to become that person. Boom. That's you more powerful than you can ever imagine. That's more powerful than you can ever imagine. You got to try, though. You've got to jump in. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. You got to jump in. It's more than just saying who you are. It's what would that person do? What does that person do in the circumstances? What does that person do? And look at it in your own mind. Don't worry about making the change in the real world. See it in your mind. And then move on. You'll see what changes over time. I've seen it 1,000 times. And I know it works. All right? All right, you guys. I will be... Oh, announcement next week. Sorry. I'm so sorry to say this, but I will be back. Doing the Approaching the Natural podcast, this is Sid Garza-Hillman signing off. You guys, I really would appreciate an iTunes review. If you have a few moments, pop on there and throw me down one, will you? A good one even, which would be cool. Podcast at SidGarzaHillman.com. Did I say that already? Good. That's my email address if you have any questions or comments. I'd love to hear them. Thanks again to the person who did the exercise, integrated exercise on the airplane. I'm loving it. I can't even comment. It's perfect. Perfection. Got it? Good. I'll talk to you guys next week. Be well.
1, 2, 3, 4. The winter's broken. It's promise again. When I woke up to it, it seemed it was taking a break. Might have passed through lazy of days on cloudless afternoon. When it left me chewing on thoughts as thick as rain. As the winter broke in its promise again. As it traveled for good away. The winter's broken its promise again. I've weathered worse, but my strength is giving in. Might have passed through lazy of days on plain blue afternoons. Might have sit and watch and change it drifts away. As the winter broke in its promise again. Travel for good.